The text for this morning's sermon is our epistle reading for today from 1 Peter chapter 2. So I would, as always, invite you to follow along in Scripture, at least in the bulletin, as we consider God's Word for us today. Dear Christian friends, today is the second week in our series to explore the future vision of this congregation, and the vision that for today is that we are growing, that we're going to take a new step forward in our walk of faith with Christ. And you know, sometimes old habits die kind of hard, even if they're bad habits. So I want to kind of tell you an example from my life of something that I needed to change. Well, you see that I've had this running route for several years, and I can't run on the roads around my house because it's really just too narrow and winding and pretty much too dangerous. And so I would always go running from the gym in Arnold. So some of you may be familiar with Arnold. So I would leave the gym, start out on Route 141, and cross Interstate 55, go through the shopping center, past Lowe's, and then follow Church Road back to Jeffco, and then back down the hill to the gym. Well, one day, a church member said to me, "Pastor, it's really much too dangerous where you're running. You need to find a new route." And so this was my reaction. I really kind of liked the route that I had, you know, because I have some requirements for it. It needs to begin and end at the gym, and I really like to end on a downhill slope. I don't want to have to go uphill at the end of my run. And I had been doing this for a couple years, and so it really wasn't apparent to me that there was going to be a route as good as the one that I had. And so I was kind of stubborn. You know, surely this was the best route all along, and I was skeptical that I was going to be able to find a route that was as good as the one that I had before. So, however, with this nudge from the church member, and the fact that there had been two pedestrians killed on Route 141 this past summer, I decided I really needed to find a new route. But here's the interesting thing. I like the new route better. So, when we talk about our spiritual lives this morning, sometimes our reaction is either consciously or subconsciously, it's just like my reaction to that church member who suggested I find a new running route. We can be skeptical and stubborn, and some of you, maybe many of you, have already decided that you're perfectly happy with the things, with the way that things are right now in your spiritual walk with Christ. Because we have habits and we don't see how something could actually be better than that to which we are all accustomed. Now, don't get me wrong, we all have habits. We're creatures of habits. That's how we operate. However, with God, it's possible to move from bad habits to good habits and maybe even to make our good habits even better ones. And so the habits that God would tell us to follow are the best habits of all. He gives them to us in the Scripture. These are the wisest paths for us. And then beyond that, when we're following God's way, He also gives us exciting possibilities to advance His kingdom. And so the challenging question before us today is, how long has it been since we have taken a meaningful new step forward in our faith walk? Well, why would we do that in the first place? Well, we talked about that last week. You know, it's love. We heard again about God's all-in love for us in Jesus that drove Him to the cross to make us forgiven and redeemed children of God. Now, if you were to flip back in your Bibles to chapter 1 of 1 Peter, this love is expressed in a better way than I could ever say it in verse 18. Knowing that you were ransomed from your futile ways, inherited from your forefathers, not with perishable things such as gold or silver, but with the precious blood of Christ, like that lamb without blemish or spot. And so last time, we talked a little bit about our response to God's all-in love for us, that too often it's a bit like pizza love.
You know, and pizza love is the sort of love that enjoys eating pizza when it's available. And there are maybe even times when you have a hankering for pizza, and so you'll go out to a restaurant that has a pizza that you like, that you pizza love, but you don't have to have it all the time, because you pizza love tacos and lasagna too, right? And so you could easily set it aside for other things that you pizza love. But God is calling us to love Him with an all-in love, a love that recognizes the love and sacrifice of Jesus Christ and does something, and maybe, just maybe, takes a new step forward in faith. So in today's text, God is calling us not only to love and serve Him, but He honors us. He honors us by giving us a noble calling to do nothing less than to change the world. And so this Bible passage makes it clear that everyone is a priest before God, that every believer has an important and meaningful role to play in their relationship with God and in their service to the church and in the advancement of the kingdom throughout the world. And this teaching is called the universal priesthood. So we're going to talk about that just for a few more minutes here. And as we do, here's a reminder. That notice each time that God is talking about you, He's talking about you all, plural, the church, and not so much individuals. Well, it starts off by saying Peter calls us all stones. You all are stones in this same building. Look at verses 4 and 5. It says, as you come to Him, a living stone rejected by men, but in the sight of God, chosen and precious, you yourselves are like living stones being built up as a spiritual house to be a holy priesthood to offer spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God through Jesus Christ. You know, whenever you see an old stone house or a stone church, all of those stones are very irregular, but they're fitted together very carefully into something very beautiful. And so you all are being built up into the body of Christ. Paul says this in Ephesians 4, so that the body of Christ may be built up until we reach the unity of faith and the knowledge of the Son of God and become mature, attaining the whole measure of the fullness of Christ. Let's go back to our text in verse 9. Where Peter explains to us in a very powerful way the summary of the priesthood of all believers. And so it starts off by saying, you all are a chosen race. The scriptures tell us that we were chosen by God from the start, that God picked us from the very first, as Ephesians chapter 1 would say, from the very foundation of the world. And it says, you all are a royal priesthood. What's a priest? A priest is someone who speaks to God on behalf of the people, as opposed to a prophet who speaks from God to the people. We are a royal priesthood, and that means that we have direct access to God, our Father. We don't need to go through another mediator. As 1 Timothy says, there is one God and one mediator between God and men, the man Christ Jesus. So you don't need to call the pastor to pray to God or to ask God for something or invoke a saint, but we go directly before God, the God of all creation, and we present our requests to Him. We're a priesthood, a royal priesthood. If you're royal, that means you're kind of important and significant with some responsibility and authority. And you're probably even rich. So what makes a person royal? Well, normally they're born into it. It's an entirely a gift because of the family they belong to. So maybe a person becomes a royal like Queen Elizabeth. She was simply born in the right family at the right time, and she became the queen. It was nothing that she did. Or Kate Middleton, when she married Prince William, she was added to the family. She was adopted into the family, and she didn't earn it or buy it or anything like that. And so it is with us. We are royal, significant, and important to God. grafted into this royal family by grace. So we are a chosen race, a royal priesthood, and we all are a holy nation. Now, to be holy means to be set apart. That means there's something that is different about us. And the word holy can really be used in two different ways. That first of all, we are made holy by grace as this free gift because the blood of Christ, that precious blood of Jesus, has washed our sin away. But it is also true that we as God's people are holy because we are new creations. We were called to be holy and righteous and to live differently just as God is holy. And so we as a church in our life, holy ought to be a word that describes how we live. That when the world sees us, they see that we are different, that we have been set apart, that we are set apart from sin, and we lead lives that are different. And that leads us then to the fourth phrase in this. But you are a people for His own possession. We belong to God as His special possession. The word in the original language there, I think, is really kind of a special one. Because what it means there is that just as a king might own the entire kingdom, everything is his, yet in the drawer of his bedroom, there might be a treasured possession. It could be a ring, a gift from his mother, something like that that is precious and special to him above everything else. And that's what we are to God, His special possession. And so Peter, in this beautiful verse, chapter 2, verse 9, gives us four images to remind us about who we are. But why are we who we are? God has called us for a purpose. We are priests with a purpose. And what is that purpose? Let's start verse 9 from the beginning. But you all are a chosen people, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people belonging to God. Why? That you may proclaim the praises of Him who called you out of darkness into His wonderful light, that we have a clear, distinct purpose, that we are not to please ourselves, but we are part of a people with a purpose to change this world. That our purpose isn't to see how much money or possessions we can acquire, but our purpose is to proclaim the praise of our God to this entire world. Let's back up to verse 3. It says, if indeed you have tasted that the Lord is good. Pretty sure Peter was really kind of repeating the words of Psalm 34, verse 8, when it says, oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. You know, God is just asking you, hey, try it out. Taste and see. Take a step forward in your faith that brings you closer to Him and to His church. How long has it been since you've taken a meaningful step forward in your faith life? You know, God is saying, grow. You know, I've been around for a few years, and I've been in ministry for a few decades. And I don't believe that I've ever spoken to anyone who has regretted getting closer to God. Don't think that that's ever happened. I don't think I've ever heard anyone say, you know, I liked it better when I wasn't so close to God. You know, I liked it better when God was in my life and I really had no direction. And I liked it better when I didn't know that God really cared about me. I don't believe I've ever heard that. So, dear friends, let God bring you closer and closer, and I can promise you this, you're going to like it. God is saying, grow. God stands before us, and He invites us to come closer to Him, to His love, to His grace, to His purpose. So in your bulletin today, you received this little half sheet, and I would kind of invite you to bring that out and kind of look at this. This is just some practical examples of new steps of faith that you might take to move forward. The first one is worship. If you don't worship every week that you possibly can, God is inviting you to grow in your commitment, Because being a Christian really starts here, coming to God's house to worship. And last week we talked both about God's push of the command that we worship and the pull of his love to bring us here. And actually, I don't want to give you the impression that it's optional. This is what God expects of us. But during the week, really breathe deeply from that oxygen tank of God's love through daily devotions. And on your sheet, you can see a couple of suggestions there, either through portals of prayer or an online devotion, something to bring you closer in your worship of God. How about study? Come to Bible class, grow. Why not be in the Word and grow in the Word of God through the Bible studies that we offer here? Or consider a Bible reading plan. Again, suggestions that you'll see here on the sheet. Give. If you're not giving generously to the Lord, you know, press on and grow. Make God your God and trust Him that He is going to take care of your future. In October, we'll be doing our pledge drive, as we often do. And if you haven't pledged before, that might be a new step in faith for you. But whatever you do, you can grow in your generosity, knowing that you can trust God. And then serve. As you serve in the church, you have this opportunity to exercise that purpose which God has given you. He has gifted you with something that the church needs to advance His kingdom. So you could fill out a time and talent sheet, which are in the back of the church if you haven't done so already. But be attentive to the calling of the Lord. Think about ways that you can make a difference in the lives of other people using the gifts that you have given. So, if you look at these sheets, we don't want them back today, but rather invite you to take them home and pray about it. Think about what it is, or the things that you can do to take new steps of faith so that you will be growing. But do ask, bring them back before consecration Sunday on the 20th of October. Just put them in a sealed envelope with your name on them, and we'll mail them back to you at the beginning of the new year so you can kind of check up on yourselves to see how that new step of faith is going. The psalmist said, "Taste and see that the Lord is good." Try something new that's going to give you that new step of faith. Would you guys remember this running route? What I didn't tell you was that at first, I didn't like it so much because the new route started with a killer of a steep hill at the beginning, and that wasn't a lot of fun at first. It was tough, but after a few weeks, it became easier. I had this sense of accomplishment, maybe even felt a little bit more fit that I could actually go up this hill at a pretty good clip. And I'm going to tell you a secret that you can't tell anyone else. That my kids, who are 19 and 21, went running with me on this route, and they couldn't keep up. God gives us new steps to grow. And as you take those new steps of faith, it might seem a little bit strange at first, but stick with it, hang in there. It might take a few weeks for a new habit to form, but still the promise is the same. Taste and see. The Lord is good. In the name of Jesus, amen.